Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 13. This week, we have, as always, Tim Madden.
Howdy, y'all!
Steve Morgan.
Hello, Governor.
How are and you Charles Caldwell. Doing?
I didn't even say your name yet.
Charles. Don't care!
I hate you, Charles. I'm just kidding, I love you.
Alright, so this is Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 13. Big week this week. The first next-gen console launched. Oh, by the way, I'm Nick Prosnowski. That's me.
Who's that kid? Who's that kid?
I was just complaining that I don't get to say my name in the beginning, and I don't even say my name, so...
Sure.
I'm an idiot. Big week. PlayStation 4 launched. This is the first console of the official next gen. We're not really counting Wii U. PlayStation 4 came out this week. Last Thursday, actually, Friday, November 15th, and all kinds of stuff out there, and we're just gonna go over it. And this is kind of gonna be a PS4 episode, and, if you tune in next week, we're going to have an Xbox episode, so hopefully we'll get some comments and first impressions. So, first off, I was just reading today on a couple different sites that the PS4 is selling at a small profit. Apparently, it costs $381 to make the machine, but they're charging $399, which is fairly... That's pretty good.
that's unheard of for, like, new-gen systems.
Considering that they sold how many in the first day?
A million. A million units in one day. And that's just U.S. and Canada. That doesn't even include the rest of the world.
So that's 18 million that they got just in...
Well, I mean, the consoles are... As far as they're concerned, the consoles are just kind of vending machines for the games.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, that's still good, though. It's, from their perspective, it's better than them paying $100 each for each console that goes out.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the theory is that, you know, they sell the game or they sell the console right off at a loss, and then they'll make the money back in games, which usually happens, but. If they're already starting off making profit, and you know the pieces of the actual console are gonna go down in price, so then they're gonna be making a better profit per console. Either that, or they'll reduce the price of the console and get it out to more people.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I was wondering how many PlayStation 3s were sold before. Its units sold 80 million, so at a loss of $206 for each one.
Yeah, so the PS3, the bare bones model, cost $599 to the consumer, but it was costing Sony $805 to actually make the machine, which is nuts.
Yeah, but that cost went down over time, so like the...
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
The units they were making last year did not cost as much as they did in the first batch.
Still. And I think the big issue for that was that they put a lot of money into the proprietary chip. Yeah. So
also having a Blu-ray like reader and stuff.
Yeah, Blu-ray like what, 8 years ago was expensive. It was the cheapest Blu-ray player.
Because everything was HD player, HDTV.
Oh yeah, there was the Discourse. HD DVD or whatever.
Oh yeah,
but that tanked. So.
Lol.
So yeah, that's good news. It'll be interesting to see what the Xbox One is actually what it costs to manufacture the unit. And hopefully we'll find that out next week.
That just makes me think that maybe they'll be a little bit less, like crazy about, like, getting high-end titles that are just, they shoot out into the market, considering they're not losing money on each console that they sell. So maybe the games will be a little bit of a higher quality.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it, gives Sony a little bit more leeway in terms of what games they put on the system. And I think it, you know, when they're losing money in each console, there's a lot of pressure for them to get big AAA titles that make them and someone else that generate a lot of money, you know. And in this case, they're making money off each console, so there's not as much pressure to have some insane game come out that you know, dominates the market. And I think it, if anything, it's just going to mean that there's more, you know, more indie titles, more, you know, more games that are, you know, like, innovate and stuff. More games that are bigger risks for developers.
I do hope that's the direction that they take, because I don't think, I mean, you know, there wasn't something in the gaming apart from, like, better graphics and some stuff, like, non-game related that this console generation has really, you know, stepped up from the last console generation. So maybe we'll see that. I mean, I think indies are going to play a big deal. Like, we've already talked about it a lot, but indies are going to play a big part this console generation, and hopefully we get some good imagination out there too. So.
I think the biggest effect is what you said earlier, is that I think you'll see the drop in price much either, maybe not as fast, or maybe not faster, but probably much more drastically. And, you know, a price drop.
You're talking about, like, AAA titles all of a sudden costing...
No, for the consoles, itself. And that, like, you know, $5.99 was a lot. And for someone like me who's, like, probably going to get it, but, like, will wait a little while, I feel like that second iteration is probably going to drop. That means they can afford to drop the price down.
Right.
So, that's pretty cool. That's good news for someone like me who's, okay with waiting, you know, 6 months or whatever to get it.
Right. It's definitely, yeah, it's good news for consumers, and it's good news for, I think it's good news for everybody, because it also will prompt good competition in the market too, you know, between consoles. And yeah, we'll see. Hopefully,
yeah,
there'll be some good competitive pricing out there. on a less positive note, some PS4 consoles have been shipped with it's actually it's the blue light of death, because it's a straight line. There's no ring involved, but I guess some people are having some video output issues connecting the console to the television. They're just getting a consistent blinking blue light on their console, and it's not showing anything.
It's becoming alive!
And according to Sony, I read this in on WallStreetJournal.com, they said it's only affecting, as of right now anyways, 1% of consoles, which I don't think that's too outrageous for, you know, a launch of a new hardware system. So.
Yeah, I think that's kind of expected, and I think, you know, whenever there's something as high profile as this, the people who, you know, have an issue are going to be way more vocal than they would be at any other point. So it's to be expected.
I mean, granted, if I got a console, if I brought it home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I started playing, or I tried to turn it on, and nothing came on the screen, I'd be bullshit mad. Yeah. I'd be like, you know, so mad. I mean, like, I would understand, but I would be pissed.
I wouldn't understand. I'd be freaking out. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Of course, there's nothing you can do about it. And you're gonna get the games eventually, because you paid for the freaking system. It's just kind of like, really? It's like when Comcast internet stops working, and you're just like, are you kidding me? Right now? Well, really?
And I mean, like, the thing is, it's inconvenient, but all the consoles are under warranty, like manufacturer's warranty, so you're gonna get another console. And I'm seeing, like, all these people like, oh, I have a $400 paperweight. Yeah, no, you don't.
For two days, until you mail back.
Well, no, it does suck, though, because it's like, especially for people who pre-ordered, and, you know, they put all this effort into getting it first, you know, they waited in line outside, they got it, brought it home, and now it bricked, and now it's like, you know, they're completely sold out everywhere. Like, your chances of getting one are near to slim now, so, like...
Unless you go to Vermont. In which case, there were like 200 consoles for 20 people. So, Williston, Vermont, the Best Buy. Check it out. I don't know if they're still there, but...
They were blown off the face of the earth.
And also, too, like, calling up, like, PlayStation right now and Sony, like, trying to get a warranty replacement must be, like, the worst. Oh, shit. You had to wait on hold for hours and days.
Yeah, I heard that they're telling people not to call, and they're telling them to do, like, the online, like,
online
email or whatever thing. Yeah. Just because they're getting such a high volume of... Because I'm sure people are calling and being like, I don't know how to set up my PlayStation Network account. Can you walk me through this process?
Oh, God.
It's called go on the fucking internet and read, like, anything on, like, the 30 million sites that has how to do it. Some other... Well, in kind of related, the...
Sabotage!
Yeah, I think... That's like this would be a good time for Beastie Boys right now. There's a report. It's only a rumor. Not sure if it's actually true or not. But the Foxconn, which is a manufacturer of a third party manufacturer of hardware for like Apple and some other businesses, say that there's potentially interns who tampered with consoles and...
Interns, quote-unquote.
And, and caused them to have a bunch of issues. I don't know about that, but...
Well, the reason they said they did it was because of the horrible working conditions in the building in China. So I'm not at all surprised by that, nor do I think that they... I mean, I don't really blame them for doing it, but it's still kind of shitty.
Yeah, it sucks for the people. I mean, it's not our fault that you work in terrible conditions.
Kind of.
I mean, just a little bit.
We just
want to buy all
we're
that.
Bad people.
We want to buy all your cheap knockoff shit.
Hey, as long as the console's only $400, I'm good.
Exactly. That's the reason why it's $400. That's the reason why they're making a profit.
Yeah.
It's because they're getting paid, you know, a nickel an hour, but...
Yeah. We're going to hell.
Yeah, we are awful people.
Who knows what they could buy for that nickel? You don't know.
Definitely not in the PS4. Let's just say that.
Also, we don't actually support anything that we're saying right now. just so you don't go out there and like try and spread rumors.
Especially
of how
much
terrible
every video game where there's like a factory setting is where you're blowing up the factory and walking away to murder the CEO of the company. So.
What?
Can you name one game? About? Can you name one game like this?
I don't know. Maybe not. I just feel like that should be the plot of a game.
I think this whole podcast just took a strange turn.
I think basically Charles should just have a segment where he makes up a game and just goes with it. This is pretty much like this is right now.
Okay, so your insert job. And you're going to kill your insert position.
You're disgruntled because of this sort of mistreatment.
It's like Max Payne, like, 4. He's old, he works in a factory, and then he's...
He couldn't retire because he spent all of his savings on drugs.
They screwed up my pension! Justice shall be mine! I'm gonna beat the mayor senseless with his own
in bullet time.
Yeah, duh, deesh, deesh. Okay,
escape from Foxconn.
That actually sounds like a thing.
Sounds like a great game.
Anyway, I picked up the console on launch night, and I've been playing it all weekend. So I'm kind of gonna go through a few things. I think I'm gonna start with like just the whole the launch experience, because it was really weird. It was not what I was expecting, and I think it's just because I live in rural Vermont. But you know, first of all, I sold my PlayStation 3 on Craigslist, and I ended up having to go. I thought the guy was meeting me at Best Buy. But no, he wanted me to go to his house in Winooski, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. So if you can meet me at like a store somewhere, I don't want to be like murdered in your house. So I did this, and I go and I meet him at this store, and I got my money and whatever. And then my wife calls me, and she's like, "Oh, but I was in Winooski, and there was like apparently a gunman on the loose."
Oh god!
And I was like, "What?" And apparently he had like done some home invasion and then run into the local school. And when I drove by, I was going back to pick up the PlayStation 4, and there were, like, 60 police cars, like, locked down this entire area. I was like, shit.
All of Vermont's police force.
Basically.
You're like, I swear, I just sold my PS3.
It was ridiculous. So then I went down, and I got down there at, like, 9, I got down to Best Buy at, like, 9 o'clock, and there was, like, I was the fifth person in line, which I was like, okay, there were two lines, pre-order and people who didn't pre-order, and there was probably 10 people in the other line, 5 people in our line, total by the end of the night, there was probably, like, maybe 30 people. It was just weird. They let us in, we paid for our consoles, I ended up going and getting, like, chicken wings and beer with this guy that I met from Canada who was down because everything... he's up in the Montreal area, and everything up there was completely sold out, so he had to drive 2 hours to actually find a place that still had consoles in stock. And but yeah, then I picked it up at 12, got it home by 12:45, set up everything, took a, you know, like 20 minutes maybe. I was trying to go through privacy settings and stuff, because you can show your real name on PlayStation 4. I mean, both consoles, you can do that now, and I'm not even really sure if my name shows up, so if anybody looks up the Psychic Fetus and it sees that my name is Nick Przanowski, let me know, because I honestly have no idea if my name is shown to just random people. Anyways, completely beside the point.
They're just going to show up at your house asking you to buy your PlayStation 4.
Yes. I will never get this away. I had a PlayStation 3, and I'm very happy with the new console. And obviously, what it does is limited, and stuff is going to come out, gradually over time. But the console is sweet looking. It's like a parallelogram. It blinks blue and turns white and orange sometimes. The controller is, I think, I have fairly big hands, so the controller grips go down farther, I think, and the controller weighs less, and the trigger buttons are like concave rather than convex, so. That was kind of annoying if you're playing any.
That is my biggest complaint about the PS.
The PlayStation 3 controller.
Yeah, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, and no, it feels a lot more comfortable.
That's good.
They've upgraded the like the rumble feature, so it has like it can rumble in like different sides of the controller. It's not just like a single rumble part. So like you can tip it and it'll feel like stuff's going like back and forth inside the controller. It's kind of cool. Controller also has a speaker in the center of it, and also like a headphone jack, so you can plug in like a mic and headphones
into the controller. Like
which is kind of cool, because right now the USB headsets aren't working. And they're gonna eventually work with the console, but then like I don't have to sit like 2 feet away from the console to plug in headphone jack or something.
It's also nice if you have like your own pair of headphones, you can just plug it right into the thing. You don't have to have like some weird connector, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it didn't work on the other console, on the PlayStation 3. So at night I just Dana falls asleep, I end up getting, I just plug in the headphone jack, and it's sweet. You can put out, chat or all audio through it, so it works really well. But the speaker, I was saying, is really cool, because I mean, it's like a really random feature, but it's got a, like in Killzone 3, when you pick up, in a lot of games, you pick up like audio logs, and instead of playing on the television, it actually plays through that little speaker, so it feels like you're like holding an actual audio log in your hand, which, you know, it's neat, but it also has a clickable touchpad, and which works really well. When you actually press it down, it's kind of, it doesn't take very much to press it down. I was kind of thinking that it was going to be a little bit harder, but the touchpad works really well. It adds like the ability to do a whole bunch more like button controls without having, you know, 6 or 8 extra buttons on the controller. So that's sweet. The user interface, I think is better. It's faster. The whole system is just entirely faster. You can multitask a lot better. You can go between a game and Netflix. You just pause the game and you can go play Netflix, watch a show. Like I would take a break, eat lunch, and pause the game, and then go back to it after I watch like Family Guy or something. And
nice.
So that's cool. Yeah, it's that's a nice feature. You can also, yeah, and you can go between you can now go between the internet browser and the game. So if you're like looking up and you're trying to look up something that, you know, like a hint on how to get past something or whatever, then you can open those up like at the same time. Not on the same. I don't think you can do it on the same screen, but you can close one and go back to it, and it's really seamless. So that's cool. There's also a standby mode on the console, which you can charge the controller when it's not completely on and it's like a lesser power state, and you can turn on the console with the PlayStation app and download, you know, if you're, you know, far away, you can be like, oh, well, the new PlayStation Plus game just came out, so you can turn on the console from your controller and download the game while you're at work or, you know, wherever you are. And so that's sweet. So it'll be ready to go when you get home. Share features are really cool. You press the share button while you're playing a game, and it pops up with a video upload, a screenshot, and a streaming button, or like that capability. And they're like, it's super easy. Video upload, like I uploaded a video of like robots, and that took me like maybe 2 minutes.
And I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, that was Playroom. So that's one of the like the camera features. So I was like, they're inside. It shows them inside your controller, and it's like, yeah, they're in like a little dance club. But
that's where it was the end when you were like tipping them over, and they were like, screaming for their lives.
So yeah, it's that was really easy. Screenshots. I uploaded that video directly to Facebook. That was, you know, really fast. Screenshots you can upload to Facebook or Twitter. And I uploaded, I think, a few screenshots to our Late Night Gamer podcast Twitter account. And streaming's wicked easy. You can stream to Twitch or Ustream. You just have to set up those accounts beforehand and sign in, and then you don't have to sign in every time. You just click on, like, I'm in on Twitch as the Psychic Fetus, and I streamed basically every time I played like any single player campaign. I just streamed it all weekend long, and I got a couple people, you know, probably I mean you guys plus I think like 6 other people that I didn't know, yeah, it was, you know, I think it's definitely a step up. I mean, it's for sure a step up from last generation. And I got Killzone Shadowfall, Knack, Battlefield 4, and then the 2 PlayStation Plus games, which were Contrast and Rezogun, I don't know.
Which is your favorite?
What's my favorite so far?
Yeah.
Well, they're all so different. Like, Killzone Shadowfall is, I beat that over the weekend. I played it. I beat it on hard. It was good. I mean, the storyline is better than I think some of the past storylines. And the gameplay is a lot more, I don't know. There's like, it's different gameplay. They kind of mix it up a little bit, but there was a bunch that was just kind of like, I felt like I was just playing like a horde mode where it was, you know, you're standing on a platform and it's just like tons of guys just keep coming through like two doors and they fill up a room and like destroy you. And, there was another scene where you're like free falling, and the controls for it were just atrocious, and I think I died probably 25 times. And I was frustrated, like, and because you're like free falling through like collapsing buildings, and you have no idea where you're going. So you kind of it's like Battletoads, where you just have to like, you know, play it once, get to a certain point. Okay, no, I can't go that way. No, I can't go that way. No, I can't go that way. No, I have to go this way. And so then, you know, you die another 10 times, and then you get... it was just frustrating, but... but yeah, so that's the console. I mean, I don't know, what do you guys think from what you've seen or heard or anything?
But what I saw on you playing, I thought that Battlefield 4 looked really good. I mean, it just looked crisp and entertaining.
Yeah, you can definitely tell the difference between the like Battlefield 3 with 30 frames per second, and I think Battlefield 4 is 60 frames per second, and it does make a difference if you're, I mean, actually comparing the two.
Now, is that just on the PlayStation itself? The frame rate, can it go higher on PC? I don't know.
On what?
Can the frame rate for Battlefield 3 and Battlefield 4 go higher on PCs compared to the PlayStation?
Well, I don't know. Ultimately limited to the frame rate of whatever screen you're on.
Yeah.
But the higher the frame rate, the smoother it'll look. So you can go. Technically, it's, you know, there is no cap.
Your eyes can't see past a certain frame rate.
6,000 frames per second.
Yeah, it's, I mean, generally, so smooth.
What you see on TV is like 30 frames per second generally. Yeah. But like if you look at some people have like 120 hertz
TVs
and you it looks different, but that's because it like it fills in things that aren't there to make it look like it's something, because the TVs aren't even broadcasting that frequency, so it's kind of, you know, fakes it, but
yeah, I have these arguments with Ryan all the time about how his TV looks so fucked up, and he's like, "Nah, man, it's nothing." I was like, "Dude, your TV's fucking weird." Because it does this thing where it fills in effects to make the thing to make it look smoother, basically.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of a really, really exciting time for everybody, all gamers. We did have a few questions. I don't know if we want to just go on to questions or whatever.
No. I can't handle the goddamn questions asking me all the time.
Shifty 25 on Twitter asked
55.
What our opinions on the PS4 launch titles, or at least the ones you've played. I'll go to you guys first and just find out. I mean, because I know you haven't played any of the games yet, but what are your thoughts, like, as a just like kind of a, you know, outside looking in? What do you think of these games?
Well, I'm considering getting Battlefield 4. I mean, if especially that seems to me like the most exciting one for me right now. Just basically because Ghost didn't seem like it was that great. So that's probably the highlight for me right now.
I mean, do you think that this launch lineup is strong, or
I think, like, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, the launch titles are kind of insignificant, because in the end I don't think anyone's going to buy a console just based on the launch lineup. I think you're going to have your mindset on which one you want to get.
Yep. And I mean, like, coming from I bought the console and I could not care less about what the actual launch games were. I bought it because I pre-ordered the console like without knowing any of the games that were coming out, and I just wanted the new console.
Yeah,
like,
I think if you're of the games that I was super excited about for the new consoles were pushed back, so I think that's why it's kind of like... I mean, obviously Battlefield 4 is the front runner because that's the one that didn't get pushed, but there's still, like, Watch Dogs and then some of the others that we talked about in a previous podcast where they got pushed because of economic constraints.
Right.
There's something that everyone's, like, looking forward to that's coming out, but it's kind of like... This is what I have to play until that comes out, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually really, really looking forward to, like Q1 and Q2 next year. Because the games that are coming out for, I mean, well, both consoles, like, whether they be first or third-party games, I'm not a huge racing game fan, but Drive Club looks cool. That got pushed back from the launch. The Order 1886, Infamous Second Son, third-party games, there's Destiny, there's Titanfall's coming on Xbox, there's, what's the name of the one you were just talking about?
Watch Dogs?
Yeah, Watch Dogs coming out, The Division. I actually just pre-ordered Thief for PS4 today. It's coming out. Yeah, that's coming out in February, which I never played any of the other ones, but this one looks ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's strictly stealth, but it seems like it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the old ones were like a classic.
Yeah,
it's really stealthy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever screw up or you're just done.
Be prepared to be frustrated.
Fallout 4, I think, was announced recently, too.
Oh, really?
Teased.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, to twist the question a little bit, like, what system had the... Like, what systems had, like, games in their launch that were, like, epic? I mean, I can think of a few, but I'm just saying, like, if you think about PlayStation 3, probably not... anything, right? Or Xbox 360?
I think for those consoles, they don't necessarily have one that kind of is the defining game of the generation. Nintendo's whole... Basically, their whole premise is they open with their ringer and then they kind of peter out. There's not that many titles for Nintendo that sustain them. So, like, when it came to the Wii, it was the new Zelda. It's always their heaviest titles that they bring out first. But with, I mean, even with the last generation on Xbox, I mean, they still tried it with Halo, but it's still, Halo was kind of petering out even then. So I don't think that's going to be the case for the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, in my opinion... like, I bought the PlayStation 4, but I think that the Xbox One has a better launch lineup than the PlayStation 4, and I'm probably going to get, like, burned on Twitter for that, but, because all I talk about is how awesome PlayStation 4 is, but, I mean, really, you know, Sony pushed out Drive Club, they didn't have Watch Dogs, there was, you know, they didn't really have a lot of first-party... There wasn't a ton of first-party support in their lineup. I think it's great that they have, you know, Contrast and Rezogun as, like, kind of like little indie titles, which are really cool. Rezogun is awesome. It's like, so, I don't know if you guys played Super Stardust at all, but it's like a 2D sort of shooter, space shooter, and it's, you know, it's super colorful. There's tons of explosions. It's, you know, there's tons of enemies on screen, and it's just, you know, it's just chaos all the time, and it's really fast paced.
What are the titles that separate them out from, like, PlayStation? Because they've got a lot of the same, like, if I mean, Battlefield 4 is on both, Call of Duty Ghosts on both, so it's like Dead Rising that kind of separates them apart. Dead Rising
3. PlayStation had Killzone Shadowfall, Knack, Rizogun and Contrast as launch titles for first party. Both consoles had Battlefield 4, old sports games, what else do they have? I don't know. There's a bunch of third-party support. Call of Duty.
Crytek came out with Rise, Son of Rome on the Xbox. Yeah.
I mean, there just seem to be, you know, a few games that... don't they have a racing game, too?
Or do they soccer game, FIFA. Let's see here. NBA, Need for Speed Rivals.
That's on both consoles.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the Killzone, like, games as a whole, but I don't know. It wasn't as exciting as I would have wanted it to be. But I still had a lot of fun with it. It's a good game. It's not nothing apart from the graphics and how beautiful it is, like. I mean, the game is truly, like, visually brilliant, but apart from that, I think the sevens and whatever it's getting is pretty, I think they're correct. Knack is fun. It's like a, you know, it's an action platformer, but it's, you know, I'm only on the second chapter, and it's kind of, it's a little grindy, and there's not, you know, there's not a ton.
Yeah.
Not a ton to do, but it's fun. It's fun. You can change. Like, you can collect all your... You collect relics or whatever, and you get bigger, and then you can destroy people faster, and then there's, like, different kinds of different types of character you can be, but you have to collect things that are, like, hidden treasure chests and things that have... things that have, like, gems and gadget parts that can upgrade your guy. I don't even know how to explain what he is. He's like a... And it's... I also find it weird that Knack, he's like... He looks... I don't know if you've seen pictures of him, but he's like... he's like the little... He looks like a robot dude. And he has, like... You don't expect it at first, but he's like... My name is Knack. And he's got this really deep, like, John Goodman voice. And I don't know, that took me really off guard.
Shall we move on to the next question from Mike Fowler 93?
Yeah. You wanna read it, Charles?
Alright. Mike Fowler asks, Xbox can't broadcast at launch. Thoughts? Xbox One, Twitch app can't broadcast until 2014. That seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah. I mean, I think... In my opinion, I think that might be a mistake with Sony doing that right off the bat. I mean, I know that they want to get their Twitch app and everything up and stable and working correctly, but the number of people that are... I mean, you just think about it. The number of people broadcasting from their PlayStation 4, that number of people is getting out to however other number of people are watching
all
them.
Of their friends are like, oh yeah, this looks awesome, I'm going to get it.
Right.
Which one so am I like, going to get? Like, can I get the one that I can't broadcast or the one that I can?
I mean, it's
same
basically
titles,
like...
pretty much, we've just talked about.
Free advertising.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it gets... players involved, it gets people who actually like watching games involved, and I mean, I think it works. The PlayStation 4 works seamlessly right now. I don't know
except
from your
1%.
End what it looks like, but well, I'm just talking about the broadcast.
Oh yeah.
I don't from your end, like, you guys watched the stream. How did it look from your end?
It looked good. I mean, there were some parts that were a little laggy. There's some choppiness, but I don't think that was the PlayStation. I think that was your connection in Vermont.
Probably.
Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of compression, so it wasn't the same as, like, watching it there live. But
right.
give you a good idea.
Plus, yeah, you could communicate and see your face, and then you could also chat with you, and you could see those things popping up. So, Twitch.
Yeah, that's a well. That brings me to another point that I'm excited about is that with the PlayStation 4, you can people can jump into your game or like watch your gameplay and then jump into your game. So you could pick up a game with a friend or whatever, and then like you can you'll eventually be able to like take control of their character, which it isn't available now, but it will be eventually. So
it's interesting.
I don't know that I would ever use it, but it's kind of just like a new thing. Seems kind of cool. The whole second screen idea is really cool. But
cool. Thanks, Mike Fowler 93. We appreciate your question. All right, you're done. You're done. Shut it down. All right. So, should we do our top five now?
Sure. I don't even know. I'm not even really sure what this is all about.
Is this something that you made up?
I just made it up. I put a bunch of the different discussions that we had earlier in the week. And kind of some ideas from past podcasts. And it kind of plays on some of the stuff we talked about. But the top five of this week's, it seemed appropriate, was reasons a console wins the war in a given generation. The console war for any given generation. So, the number one that Tim pointed out for PlayStation that goes to for Generation 8 is porn. Porn is going to be integrated into the new PlayStation 4.
I find that so... I mean, they did have like a... I think there was a porn app on PlayStation 3, but it...
It was just porn. It just shows up on your like grid as porn. It just says porn.
It's not like... I mean, it's not like Sony's like, yep, we got a porn app. Pornhub said they're gonna support the PS4. I don't even know how that works. I mean, I'm assuming it's just gonna work.
It means they're gonna have developers who are devoted. They're gonna have a PS4 division.
I'm sure they make enough money they can, but I'm assuming it's just they're gonna support like the PlayStation browser or whatever it is, so that you can view it from there.
And then
so weird.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought Pornhub was just one fat guy in a basement with like a lot of hard drives. So I didn't even know they had a coding team.
They're all Swedish because of the Pirate Bay. They have all of anyway, I also put in a little note on here for the Generation 7. In Generation 7, porn had to be relegated to being in video games, and I put Mass Effect as an example of this, where they have the character go through and have a sex scene and randomly. Of course, as we learned with Custer's Revenge, porn has always been in video games.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you didn't see anything. It blacked it out in Mass Effect, but...
I don't know, did you guys ever play Heavy Rain?
I remember seeing Alan play it or something. I don't remember.
I watched you play it.
Yeah, it was... Well, I think I showed you that really awkward scene where she's
It was very awkward.
You control this girl, and she's taking a shower, and it's, like, full-on frontal nudity. And you're controlling her as she's, like, washing her body. I'm like, this is really uncomfortable.
And then Dana walks in the room, what are you doing?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, that's all I need is, like, my wife to take video games away from me because this is what she thinks that I'm playing.
Yes, yes, wash your hair.
That's awful.
Alright.
I feel like that game induced a lot of fapping and, like, pubescent boys.
Fap City, bitch.
It's the same with that game where they did, they hacked the code in the game so you could... where you could see
Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ellen Page.
Yeah, Ellen Page. And they Willem Dafoe. And they freaked out. Willem Dafoe. Okay.
Ellen Page got real mad about that.
Yeah.
Which, granted, that's fine, but... Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like they had her stand nude and scanned her nude body. It's like they just put some render in there.
So. They're like, okay, lay on that bed. We want to paint you.
We are going to generate so much porn from this. All right.
Love you all, Swedish.
We should move on to number two, which is okay. A little more serious. Generation A, open and free access to users, where the PlayStation has allowed gamers to not be connected to the internet all the time and allowing them to play their games from the PlayStation 3 onto the PlayStation 4. Thank you, PlayStation. We appreciate it. Screw you, Microsoft. I don't know why I put this here for this particular one, but I put as Generation 7 as a weird novel ideas for games. We is the winner because just the whole like weird controller thing. Hey, it didn't work out for them, but for a little while everyone was freaking out about the Wii. So
yeah,
sure. And I mean, it sparked like the PS3 Move, and it sparked Kinect. I mean, it forced them to try some new things, at least, even if they're not that successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the it wasn't great. It actually probably made them a lot of money, but in the end, it just spurred more innovation on everyone's part.
And I mean, I think Generation 7 also had, I mean, like the PlayStation 3 was region free, which was kind of a big deal, because you could play against anyone in the world and you could get a disc from Japan and it would work in your console in the US.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And That was really cool, because there was, I mean, it was weird for a while, where it was like every region had its own like game, so that you couldn't play it in other areas. But I think both consoles this generation are region free, which is cool.
Sick. All right, number three. Just a random one I threw in there. I like the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation commercials way more than I like any Xbox commercial I've ever seen.
Did you see the Xbox commercial where it's like a mech and that he taps on the window and he goes to pick up that guy? Yeah, I think the whole like the commercials have just been better. I think both Sony and Microsoft have done better with advertising this generation than they did last generation.
Can we just agree that the Wii commercials were the worst?
Yes.
I like loved my Wii, and I would just be like, dude, this commercial is retarded. Like, I'd be like, we would like to play with you.
You can tell it's like super Japanese.
I'm like, what the hell is happening?
Come away with us. Oh god, terrible anime Wii commercials.
If it was anime, it would have been 100 times better, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Kamehameha! Wii shoots out.
Okay, so we're doing a bunch of things that nobody can see, so
my eyes are popping like an anime character. Pop 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 pop. Now they're
single tier.
Now they're really teeny and squinty.
Sweat drop.
I'm talking in my dubbed voice, but really my mouth is moving a million miles an hour because I'm speaking in Japanese. All right.
You got a little pulsing forehead vein.
What are you? How dare you? All right. Well, I added a little side note. For Generation 7, feature Xbox Live. I don't know why I put that there, but anyway.
Why? The commercials? The feature of having Xbox Live.
But I think that's more Generation 6, so I'm going to skip it. Generation 8, door number 4. Games that live up to expectations. So far as I've seen, Battlefield 4 has lived up to Nick's expectations. Ghost, on the other hand, has not. Of course, they both fail in the category of games that we really wanted, that I really wanted to play, like Watch Dogs and some of the other ones they pushed back. So I'm going to give it to PlayStation because of Battlefield. Well, more, I guess it's more the developer because both
have Battlefield.
I guess they both have it, so. Yeah, I guess it's kind of, whatever.
Sure, but I think that's like a good point, is that there's certain expectations for not just the system, but their like exclusive titles, and if they don't live up to those expectations, then the console is going to suffer.
Yeah.
And I think that we've talked about how this generation of consoles, as well as the companies that produce them, don't necessarily have the specific title that will drive sales for their console, but in the past generation, it was Halo for the Xbox.
Yeah, I think Halo for Xbox, the original Xbox, is like probably the biggest driving thing.
Yeah.
The biggest driving source of revenue. Yeah.
The original Halo was amazing. I mean, for what we were used to, that was like the fact that we could link up like 16 players and
run people over with the Warthog.
Yeah.
I think Microsoft can directly attribute the vast majority of their success as a console, you know, creator to Halo.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's not even a question.
What are you talking about? It wasn't from Fable? Oh, wait. That's failed. Okay. And the final fifth item. Profit is a real thing. We've just proved that you can make a profit off of a console. I don't know what Microsoft's stats are on this. I don't know if we've heard it, but are they making a profit off of their console?
We don't know yet. I think we'll probably hear... I think that once they... After they launch it, so next week's episode, we'll probably know more, most likely, but...
So I think generally we can assume that this aside from the games, in this point in time, the consoles are better than Generation 7, even when, if we compare them to the last generation, because they're making a profit. Like, come on, it just makes sense. Make a profit.
Yeah, and I mean, their architecture is very similar, so I can't imagine that they'll be too different.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's just nothing revolutionarily, like, hardware-wise that should cost them a lot of money.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. And then finally, for Generation 7, it was games that lead to mega sales and mega profit. I think Generation 7 and maybe a little bit of 6 were games where so many people bought them because it was just ubiquitous. And if you don't know or are yourself somebody who played a game on one of the consoles, then you're in the minority because most people play games now, and I think that's can be attributed to Generation 6 and 7.
Yeah, I think that kind of, like, diminished a bit. Like, I think, like, you can go back further in time, like, for the Nintendo 64, like, GoldenEye was the shooter game, you know, and then you had, like, Halo, that was the shooter game for that time. But I think now it's so diversified that it's hard to really point that out, and at least in this last generation, because, like, even just recently, there were more people on Xbox Live playing Halo 3 than were playing Halo 4. You know?
That's terrible.
And then you have Black Ops, and you have Battlefield. You just there's so many.
Yeah.
So many different games, so many different shooters. It's not the same like it used to be, where there was just one that totally defined the field.
Right.
But the numbers of people have gone way up, as we saw in that statistic. From about gamers, where how many gamers are there in the world? Something like the population of the United States, 300 million gamers in the world. So,
but I mean that I don't think that means that there won't be another one. I just need to have a game that's really, really, really good, and everyone will buy it. Right. Like, you know.
Oh, I'm not talking about game like headliner games. I'm talking about the ubiquitousness of games where it's become such an important industry that it can't be ignored. I mean...
Sure, but that just comes with a sequel, essentially. I mean, you make, like, a new shooter, whatever, not Call of Duty, not Battlefield, not, like, Halo. It's amazing, like Destiny or something.
Yep.
And then Destiny 2 comes out, and everyone is, like, if everyone played the first one, everyone is just, by default, gonna buy the sequel.
Right.
And then you can totally sell... You know, you can sustain a console or whatever on just that kind of popularity.
Yep. Boom! Crazy. Those are the top five.
So
take notes.
Well, we're nearing the end of the podcast, so I guess we'll just open it up and find out what all you guys are playing. I've already talked a little bit. I beat Killzone Shadowfall over the weekend on hard mode. It was a turd. to beat on hard.
Polish that turd.
I played a bunch of multiplayer on it. I'm probably two chapters into Knack, which is It's fun. It's, you know, it's just, it's getting used to being in a, like a platform, an action platformer rather than a first person shooter. I played Battlefield 4 online. I haven't started the campaign at all yet. That's a lot of fun. Let's see. I played Resogun. That was really good. And I synced up my sound shapes is like a cross platform, cross buy. So if you buy it once, you get it on PlayStation 3, Vita, and PlayStation 4.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's sweet. But there's three different trophy lists. So I have a platinum for sound shapes on Vita, a platinum for sound shapes on PS3, and a platinum for sound shapes on PS4. And the only way to, like, you don't even have to play the game all the way through. You just have to upload your cloud save. And according to psnprofiles.com, my fastest platinum is sound shapes on PS4 because it took 10 seconds to upload.
I am going to call them and have those platinums revoked, because not fair at all.
So yeah, that's what I've been doing. PS4, that's it, nonstop.
I have gone full steam playing WoW in anticipation of the new expansion. So I've been leveling. My goal is to get as many level 9s as I can, so I'm up to, I have 4, I'll probably have 5 by the end of the week. But in semi-related news, they actually just said that, well, the speculation is that the new expansions are going to come out in June, and so it's about 7 or 8 months that I have to get everything up to 90, so hopefully
it's pretty exciting. I might have some free time to play this time instead of having to do it like in the middle of some giant meeting or something.
Yeah.
It was like bloodshot eyes rolling into my office. Like, oh, I've been playing Mists of Pandaria for 72 hours straight.
Yeah. And also related, they, I think his name is Ghostcrawler. He's like the community rep for a while. But he was saying that they're looking to move towards more like a once a year expansion, so
interesting.
You might see him more often.
So I've been playing Call of Duty Ghosts. I've actually gotten pretty good at it. Me and Brandon both got called hackers last night, so it was pretty good. I also started playing State of Decay on PC. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
It's a little clunky, I think, because it's obviously a port. But I mean, it's still cool. It seems pretty good. I've only played probably the first, like, half an hour or so, but it's kind of got a cool dynamic, and I'm interested to continue it, so I'll let you know how it is.
Sweet.
I've finished up Hitman Absolution. I enjoyed it, but I was dissatisfied with the ending. But anyway, I am now playing Faster Than Light, and I am failing miserably. And that, I'm sure I will improve over time, but I'm infuriated by the little rock people. And the mantises. Why can't I kill you?
Dude. I have so much to tell you.
I'm playing right now, and I started the game. I mean, you start off at the three people anyway, but I immediately, I got a rock and two mantises. And so now I've got five people in my little ship, and I'm like, I'm manning them at little key points. The rock is going to secure the oxygen. I will be victorious.
Shocking, dude. Shocking.
All right. Yeah, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Tune in next week for some Xbox One first impressions, because that launches this Friday, November 22nd. And thank you, Mike Fowler 93. Thank you, Shifty 25, for your questions and comments. And this is Late Night Gamer Podcast, episode 13. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This is the end.
DuckTales!
This is the end.
Get out of
here.
Yeah.
Ah! Ooh.
This is the end as we know it.
Dear, don't get the hell out of here. I don't want to see your face.
Late Night Gamers.
According to the Late Night Gamers... Oh, that's because it hasn't been posted yet. God damn you, Steve! Confusing the shit out of me.
Shut your fuck up!
Alright.
Shut that fuck up.
Shut your fuck up.
Yeah, I know. I need to post it, dude. I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault.